So, Lon, what you up to up
well,
there?
Well, I'm worried.
Down that, there, sorry.
Well, I'm worried that the more we do this, the more people are. I'm feeling pressure now, Lon, that we're.
What pressure?
You know, people. Well, people are looking up to us, especially me, to be some kind of role model to, like, oh, I know how to deal with this getting older and deal with, you know, this is what you do, how to do your art, and I don't know what I'm doing.
And people are looking up to you, and you're feeling the pressure, you're saying.
I am.
It's what's happening last. You can't walk out of the house without the throngs.
All the angry food delivery drivers who didn't get a tip.
They're all holding up their sandals.
Let's start
the show.
Like
you're the Messiah.
Let's start the show, Messiah.
Okay, well, are you sure? Because I don't want you to feel like you're in too
much pressure.
Yes,
I want to start the show.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to episode 8 of season 2 of the Half Alive podcast.
We are the Law and Law brothers. My name is Law.
And my name is Law.
We're 60-year-old twins with more than a few career, financial, mental health, and size challenges.
And our podcast is for people like us, people in the arts who tried and failed to make a living doing what we love. My brother is an actor in L.A., and me is a writer in New York City.
Now we live... So sad. But now we live in a dilapidated old house in Schenectady, New York, chronically on the brink of financial devastation, but somehow we are still making our art.
And that's what we encourage you to do. Keep making your art, whether you earn a dime at it or not, because you're only getting older.
So what's our theme for today? Do we have an interviewee? Did you find anybody? Did you dig anybody up for
I
us
did
to...
indeed. And we've had our first cancellation because he canceled out at the last minute.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Who?
Well, let me put it this way. A very prominent watercolorist in the greater Schenectady area.
A watercolorist?
A watercolorist.
La, you're making this up
now,
because you didn't do
up.
The work.
No, La...
If you don't do the work, I'm certainly not going to do the work, and then there's no show.
On our mother's grave, Law, I'm telling you, there was a very prominent watercolorist, that's a painter, you know, in the greater Schenectady area. And, well, let's just say that we had it all worked out. He was going to show up. He was going to log in at a certain time. He was very excited about it. He asked for a link to our other episodes, and then he kind of disappeared.
Oh, well, there's your... There's your answer. You must have listened. Listen, do you have his phone number right now?
No, I'm not giving it to you.
Let's call him and do like a prank phone
he
call.
He will not answer calls, texts, or emails. As I've
who
heard.
Was it? Let's give his name out so no, that the audience knows who he is.
Yes.
I so want his name.
I know you do.
I want his name. This is our last chance,
you
Law.
You have temper issues, Law. And if
I don't have
any
fucking temper issues. You,
Law.
I don't have any serious temper issues.
You know, you do know you can't
make who is it?
Prank calls anymore, right? This is the age of
I know. Remember all the fun we had doing prank calls, though? We would do different voices and say,
yes.
Your house is on fire. I see your little dog.
The best one, because remember.
We didn't do anything that bad.
Our father was such an idiot, and he was always drunk, and we'd call him from downstairs. Because remember, there was some number you could dial, and it would ring the house number. It would ring the room number. Remember that? And we would call him and tell him, don't look in the attic. Which, of course, he wouldn't do, because that was too many flights up.
I can't get up those stairs. Hey, go upstairs and look in the attic.
This is your girlfriend's sister Trotina from
do you remember
St. Agnes School for the Deaf?
Do you remember you put on a girl's voice and you were crying? You said that you were pregnant.
Yes.
That's how we found out that he was actually, well, one of the times that he was actually cheating. Is this Agnes? Is this Agnes? Oh, Jesus Christ. Agnes.
Well, he deserved it. And remember... Remember we kept, we learned about Ponce de Leon in school one day, and so we called Grandma up from downstairs and we're like, hello, is Ponce de Lion there? Is Ponce there? I want to talk to Ponce. And she was like, who is this?
I do remember. I
and
do
she, we
remember.
Kept her on the phone for like 20 minutes. She's so stupid, she didn't just hang up.
I know, but she also was convinced that he owed her money. Remember,
that's
she wanted
true.
Her money. What the hell? So somebody out there named Ponce something really did owe her money. I wonder if she ever got it.
That's true.
Huh. I wanted my money.
She didn't get the fountain of youth. She didn't get the fountain of youth, but she might have gotten some money from her days back in the trade.
Stu, as crazy as she was, too, she never lost a brain cell when it came to time with numbers and money.
No.
She knew numbers and money.
Do you remember that time she won a car at bingo? At St. Whatever it was? She won a car. Like, well, yep. This was before we were born, but we were told she won a car.
That's the family legend.
Yeah. Someone was killed in that car.
That's where Agnes got pregnant.
Well, we had to keep it all in the family, right? Grandma wins a car, and her son-in-law gets a nun pregnant in the back of the... Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry you listened to this show, sir.
Yes.
What did he do? What kind of artwork did he do? Oh,
He did. Have you seen this? There was a... He's had exhibits all over the Capitol District.
Well, how do I know if I've seen it if you don't tell me who it is?
Well, he does the ones of the famous murderers, remember? He does watercolors, the famous murderers, and then... You know,
murderers? Like
the actual victims, like dead. And then he does watercolors of them coming back as zombies. Have you heard of this? It's been in the papers and stuff. No? Well, anyway.
No, I must not be on that page.
I don't know.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
I don't know whether he's making any money at it or whatever, but apparently.
That's pretty horrible. What if you're a family member?
That's
no wonder he's in the papers. You know, we tried to become famous the honest way.
Yes.
We didn't exploit anyone.
Exactly. We tried to become famous by exploiting our lack of talent.
That's right. No, we wanted other people to exploit our lack of talent, and there were no takers.
Exactly. But anyways, Scott W. Dankworth.
Was his name?
Scott W. Dankworth. Have you heard of him?
No, but I will, you know, Google him now.
Yeah, I know. He's not his
life. Scott W. Dankworth. Scott Wankin' Dankworth.
Oh, dear. Get yourself in any legal trouble.
Oh, anyway. I'm sorry. All right, well, he's the one who blew us off.
That's true. And he was going to talk about, you know, trying to deal with the money issues like the rest of us do. And so I guess we'll just... why don't we do voices, Lon? You can be an interviewer and I'll be Scott. And we'll just pretend.
All right. Scott. Listen, my father was killed, and you drew a portrait of him with him as a zombie coming back to kill the murderer, and it really hurt me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Is this art, Law? Are we doing art right now?
We are, but...
Is this how we do our art?
Scott W. Dankworth is listening, he'll know that we made fun of him and that we just ripped him with nasty gay humor that only a homosexual can do. That'll teach his ass.
Well,
I guess not.
Now that that's off the schedule for today, what is our theme now?
Well, I've been thinking about it.
What are we going to talk about now?
I've been thinking about it in the 12 minutes since he... he ditched us. And I was thinking, especially since I got 5 rejection letters, or rejections anyway, since our last episode.
For what?
Well, like for plays I submitted and for production.
You're still doing the writing thing?
I am still doing the writing thing and for short stories and microfiction that I've been doing, you know, like 500 words and stuff. And I just got 5 of them this week. It's just, you know, it really beats on your ego pretty bad. So I thought, why don't we talk about rejection, but not just generalized rejection, but how does one deal with rejection when the work they've submitted or the part that they didn't get, you know, they auditioned for, were not even paying gigs. So, like, none of these things that I submitted I was going to get the joy of being published, but I wasn't going to make any money on it. And then I got rejected still, and there's something especially unfair about it or stinging.
I was going to go into my usual blah, blah, blah about rejection where, like, I don't mind it because you know, at least your work is getting seen. At least your stuff is getting read and rejected. It's worse when it's not read and you can't get it read anywhere and you're failing without even anybody reading your work. But that's an interesting twist when it's something free and you're still getting rejected. How do we at this age persevere with art that only we care about?
Right.
Hey, La, I have a question for you along this. Is art art if it's not appreciated by anybody?
Huh, that's kind of like if a tree what falls in the forest, art? Right?
Yeah. When you create something, does it become art once it's appreciated? Or is it just art because you created it?
La, I have no idea. I'm going to have to think on that.
Perhaps one of our listeners could write us at havealivepodcast@gmail.com.
That's pretty profound for you, isn't it?
Yes, well, these are all the things that keep me up at night, La. Why do we keep going? Why do we try? Why is it so important to make art? Why don't we just think about eating and sleeping? Why do we have to create anything? Who are we to think we can create anything?
Well, I think I have a preliminary half-assed answer. I think that I think that you're sort of driven to create, right? And that you want people to pay attention to it. But it must be art because you have to generate it. It's something that comes from some inner drive. It would be nice to have someone, you know, pay attention to it, and it would be nice to make some money at it. But yeah, I would say it's art right from the start.
What does it stem from? Because I know if I look at something beautiful, I can just take it in. But I really want to call you up and say, "Hey, La, look out the window! It's a beautiful sunset."
Yeah.
Or, "Hey, La, read this article. Is it beautiful? I want to share it." So in the creation of art, do you think it has anything to do with wanting to share beauty, wanting to share a piece of your soul just for the beauty's sake of it?
Well, you know, I don't know. I hadn't actually thought about it. It just seems like you need something to create. It would be nice to, you know, share it with somebody and have it appreciated. But I don't know. Maybe it's a two-part thing, you know. Like, it doesn't absolutely have to be appreciated for it to be worthwhile, but that would be nice.
There's an interesting yearning, La, that keeps one going, and yearning to create it and a yearning to share it that I didn't have for the 15 years when we were just locked in depression when we both gave up and we were back home here just eating and being depressed.
Right.
And we were still worrying about how we're going to make a living, how we're going to pay the rent. Right. And we were horribly depressed. Now we're kind of, I'm getting out of that. I'm still like not over it. But it's because we're trying to create again. So it must have, for certain people, it must be tied to survival in some way. Because at least now I want to survive a little bit, whereas before I did not care.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if I got this right, but didn't Emily, who's that poet that you hated? Emily Dickinson. Didn't she, her poems are kind of, she was kind of discovered after she died. She had some recognition, but not much while she was alive. And then after she died, she was a big hit.
That's what, did she cut off her ear, right?
She did, and she painted with it. My name is Emily Elizabeth Dickinson Van Gogh.
I have never seen an ear as beautiful as a tree.
No, that's, she didn't write that poem. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And do you remember when she was held up in that attic?
That's right.
During World War II?
That's,
no, I don't know. No, that's... And someone made a portrait of her.
In high school?
No, there was somebody in Schenectady who made a portrait of the zombie Anne Frank coming after a Nazi.
Yeah, well, that wasn't that
Mr. Wanker?
No, oh, I see you're making this up. I was thinking of Brandon Tarantino. Didn't he do like the Nazi or the Holocaust revenge movie?
Not Brandon Tarantino.
Queer, what was it called?
Quentin Tarantino.
Inglourious Bastards.
Right? Yeah.
But I don't think Anne Frank was in that law. I think you're
I'm talking about Mr. Wanker. It was a stupid callback.
Oh,
but going back to I guess it kind of does sting a little bit more when you're rejected for for something that's free.
All right, I have to ask you then, point blank, because I made what do you call it, check? I did get royalty checks, and they were really nice. But you, when you got paid for a part on TV, you made some significant money, right? And you still get like 12 cents and stuff for reruns and things. But at the time, you were making some real money. And how do you deal with, like, say you try out for something here that's just not a paid part and you get rejected for it after you've been on national television? You were on Will and Grace. You were on Seinfeld. You were on The Golden Girls.
You did have a twist on this by saying the sting of a free gig as opposed, because out there, you know, even if I got callbacks, I was really excited because I knew there were lots of competition. So I felt, even if I don't get it, at least I was good enough to have a callback. And then if I got it, that was just gravy. Gravy. And here.
So when did you start sounding like Mr. Ed Law?
Here. They call me Mr. Ed.
You were being very cerebral for a while there. Now you're doing Mr. Ed. For all our young listeners out there, Mr. Ed was a talking horse in the 1960s.
I mean, the things that I've gone out for here, I've gotten. I mean, I got the Christmas Carol gig.
That's true.
And got the basketball job, which I turned into a creative gig. Because instead of doing basketball, right, we've been doing once a week improv classes with my street girls.
Yes, but actually, so, remember before you got the Christmas Carol, you tried out for Guys and Dolls, which was not a paying gig, and you auditioned.
I didn't want to do it though. Yes, you're right, and I didn't get it, but I didn't really want to do Guys and Dolls. But
on purpose? Are you saying or?
I might not have gone and told you I went, but let's just not get into that.
You told me you
let's
auditioned
not get
for
into
Miss
it.
Adelaide. I can't believe
it. A bison can develop a big fat cold.
A big giant stomach.
Hello, dears. This is Miss Adelaide.
You can't even pronounce your
name. I can't believe why they didn't want me. No, I think that...
Well, tell me, hypothetically, what would it be like? You go out for some role you absolutely have to have for a play in town that you really want to do. It's a real challenge, or the part is really funny.
All right, listen to me. This podcast is deadly serious because it's about our lives.
Yeah.
And it always gets me down. Well, not down, but I don't like self-awareness. And we were just talking about how art... for certain people like us, it's kind of tied to survival. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it stings a little more, especially when you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're rejected. You know, it stings more. Why do we keep going? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I can imagine that, you know, especially for you, right? And you go to these auditions and don't you have to have your resume with you? And you tell them you're on TV and they don't care, right? It's like, well, that was the past.
It's not so much they care. I mean, sometimes they're impressed, but they're also pretty snarky sometimes too. And, you know, they look at me. I'm sure they wonder. It's just, we let ourselves go in the 15 years we've been here. It's hard to walk into a room. I'm already sweating because there were two steps to get into the room. Knee goes out. I can't get up out of the chair. I stand up. I'm sweating. And I'm like, I'm going to...
Well, maybe you need to, you know, audition for parts that you're actually, you know, able to do physically. 60-year-old man, you can't do Miss Adelaide.
But I wanted that so bad.
You promised me this. You promised me that.
Do you remember the time? Oh, my God, La, I felt so bad for you, but you had just moved out to LA and you got, what was it called? How to Make It in Business Without Really Trying.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that big number that the men do as a Brotherhood of Men? And it's all like intense choreography. And you were like, and you were thin then. And you were like, were just, it was like the buffoon in the background.
Because you know why though? Because they tried so hard. They thought it was funny and they wanted to keep me, but I couldn't dance for shit. And they liked my voice. And they thought it was funny, so they put me in the back, and the choreographer finally said, "Oh my God, just you move funny, and I'll try to have you do the same things. You do what you can do, and I'll try to have you do the same things more than once." So I kind of did. Do you remember what that Mad TV thing about the little kid who goes, "Look what I can do"?
What was that?
I would weird things like that in the back, and she would just say, "Good, just keep doing that." But that was actually, you know, they knew that I was trying, but they knew I had no rhythm. But I had a certain rhythm. But I was flattered that they liked me enough to make it work, and I'm glad I found a way to make it work. But this is part of my question
is because that required all that choreography and all that work, and even your part that, you know, because you were screwing up and they sort of rewrote your steps for you. But it was an unpaid gig. So can you imagine somebody who tried out for that play and didn't get it?
Or they tried out for my part and they see this buffoon. I don't know, La. I mean, when I think about it too much, it gets depressing, though. I mean, I have to take it day by day.
Just go with it. Don't.
Because...
Don't slam the door on me. I think that... Didn't they change the name to the Brotherhood of Buffoons?
The Brotherhood of Buffoons.
Well, I used to get rejections from publishers, you know, from my agent when I had an agent. And the thing is, when he did land a contract, which, you know, as you know, landed several, there was always money involved. And a lot of it for me, you know, as a writer, for any writer, that was a lot of money. And, you know, now, like I said, I got these 5 rejections for these things that don't even pay a cent. And in fact, like the one play, if the play had gotten chosen, you would have to donate $100 to their
production. Oh, my God. They didn't even want your donation.
They didn't even want my donation, yeah. At least they didn't ask for, you know, that as a, what do you call it, an entrance fee, which I hate. But, yeah, so, you know, it just stings because I want to say, I had an agent in New York City. I had a house in Africa.
I guess the hard part of it is, are we saying that to be an artist, you need... you need an audience of some kind. Otherwise, you're not an artist?
No, I think we're saying, do you need
an audience
money?
Or someone to buy it?
Yeah, well, yeah, do you need money of some kind? Because even if, you know, something's a flop,
so,
you
but
paid
is
for
that
it.
Why people create? The cavemen who did the cave paintings that they find?
Of course not.
Did they do it for money? Did someone run around there with gold bars and saying, "Here, put your handprint on the wall"? There must have been some other reason.
So what is it you're getting through with all these rhetorical objections, La? What is your
well
point?
I don't
just suck it
I
up.
I guess I'm trying to discuss, because you know I'm not too bright, but I'm trying to discuss the balance between the organic need to create art with the real life problems of needing money and needing to eat and needing food and to like, what do you do with your art?
So
if what is the goal with your art? Is it just to express it? But it seems like an actor. I mean, I can't just express, I'm acting. I can't just look in a mirror. I need an audience to look at me.
Well, that's true. And I feel like, you know, as a writer, if you write something and you leave it on a disc somewhere, it doesn't do any good. Nobody's ever going
to
see it.
You need somebody to read it.
Yeah. But in both cases, you get a part locally and I publish something and neither of us makes any money. Does that diminish the experience?
Well, I don't know, La, but I know we've talked about this before. I talked about why I liked acting, and it's not so much the accolades. It's the the intimacy between you and your partner or your scene partner. Even if you're doing a monologue, it's like you and the audience. It's really not the same when I'm doing a monologue here alone in my house.
So really, yes, it's not.
No,
and so you sound schizophrenic, but
but so you do. I mean, well, what about like you when you read your chapters out loud in an empty room? Oh my God, it's so sad. I hear you up there.
Well, it's horrifying. I mean, it's, you know, because I never read anything of my own without thinking, "Oh my God, who wrote this?"
That's not true. You've written some stuff that you like. I know you do because you've written some beautiful things.
Eventually, you know, you rewrite it 1,000 times and you know, then I can stand it. But I guess if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is not getting paid, you know, getting rejected for something you weren't going to get paid for in the first place is just part of our new reality as, you know, people at this stage of our lives sort of post money making and but still wanting to create. Is that right?
I guess. And I you know, I have to say I haven't screwed up a lot of auditions in my years if I was prepared. And that's why I don't mind that type of rejection if I feel like I'm prepared and did whatever I did. I did as good as I could. Either they want me or they don't. I think I've dealt with that better than I've dealt with the rejection of, look at this, we got two little girls who were born two little boys. And now they're two little, I mean, that rejection kind of hurt a little bit more than the artistic rejection.
Yeah, but I mean, I think maybe it's magnified for us because we had such a screwed up childhood. You know, we didn't go out there full of confidence. We still don't, even though we had some success in our lives at one time. Because we were told we were zeros so many times.
Yeah, it's weird, though, the confidence. I do have when I'm prepared, I guess the confidence I have is I'm prepared and I'm confident with what I'm doing. When I'm in a room with other actors just hanging out as myself, that's when it's kind of hard to feel like, you know, I fit in or, you know, I'm not socially awkward. I look at that person who knows how to work a room. That's how he gets all those parts. He's so friendly. Everybody wants to be with him. He just doesn't eat at the craft service table and cry.
You know, when are we going to get over this? We're 60. If you go outside and you walk around, nobody's looking at us. Nobody's looking at anybody who's 60 because their people are invisible, right? They're looking at young people. They're looking at hot people.
Yeah.
And here we are thinking everybody's looking at us all the time, judging us. And
yeah, but why do people shout at us when we walk down the street? You know that happens. Why do people feel the need, like when we're in public, to publicly make fun of us?
I'm not sure, but
our whole lives they've done that.
I'm not sure, but I think the answer is we should never be seen in public together because that just gives them twice
God,
the
that'd
target.
Be worse. I got hit by a Coke bottle the other day when I was walking down State Street. Somebody threw a Coke bottle out at me through the car window, and you're laughing as they go by.
Huh. Well, I guess there goes my theory right out the window with that Coke bottle.
Apparently we're funny to normal people.
Well, I don't know why. I go out so infrequently, like during the day, that I don't really think about it. I don't, you know, people don't yell at me as much as they used to.
Speaking of going outside during the day, somebody washed their ponytail because I saw you didn't have it in the ponytail. You had your hair down and it was blowing in the breeze and your hair looked freshly washed and looked very pretty.
It was, yes. Well, the sink still works. So, you know, I decided to.
I don't even remember the last time I saw you when it wasn't in a ponytail.
Well, you know, La, you got to try new things. When you have this little hair on the top of your head, you got to grow the hair that you have. You should see the braids in my back.
Well, what did we, to sum up this, what did we decide about, do rejections sting more when it's a free thing? Or I think they do.
I just said We have to deal with this stage of our life, and this rejection stings more because we're not getting paid, but we have to deal with it because we're post financial gain. Maybe in our case.
So we're in it just for the fun now. Post-financial
survival.
So we're in it just for the fun.
I guess we're in it just because it's what we do. And then, you know, when we look back at our lives someday, La will say, I created despite everything, despite the creaking floors and the dripping ceilings and the lack of plumbing in the house. I was who I wanted to be.
Well, let's buy a camera and make a movie.
Let's do it. Hey, let's put on a show in our dad's barn.
The middle empty condemned apartment. We could do a horror film.
I had an idea. Speaking of failures, did you see that stuff about Army? What's his name? Army Shatner.
He was Army Hammer.
Army Hammer. I mean,
yeah,
oh
it
my
was
God,
pretty
I always
sad.
Thought he was
actually,
high. So he was like rich and famous and beautiful and had everything going with his career going for him, and you know, wind to his back. And now he's got nothing. He can't afford the gas for his truck.
He can't afford the apartment. Well, he just did an interview trying to claw his way back in. I guess it's got a horrible family history of a legacy of just as bad. Think of our family, but with sexual perversion attached to it.
And a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because they were like billionaires, right? They were really rich.
I guess.
Well, anyways, I mean, if he can fail, I mean, still, he's in the same position that we are, and that amazes me and somehow gives me comfort. But I was thinking he has no money, and we've got that middle apartment.
Oh, Jesus, Christmas. All well, right, how do we get in touch with him? If anybody knows, write to us at halfalivepodcast.com. Well, and we can, what is it? Halfalivepodcast@gmail.com.
Exactly.
Halfalivepodcast@gmail.com. Send us his contact information. We'll give him a free place to live.
Army, if you're listening, come to us, baby.
We'll take care of you, baby.
We'll take care. But think of that. He would have he'd be completely incognito because, I mean, this is the worst part of Schenectady. And nobody would know he was here. He would barely have to pay anything. And we could, like, you know, look at him.
Are you saying we're going to have... Well, how does this, what does this have to do with art? I thought he was going to make a movie with him.
Well, I started you wanted me with, to make a you know, movie somebody with starts out. Now, he's probably going to have to, you know, he's going to go begging because he's, you know, and he's not going to get all the big parts anymore, so it's probably very humiliating. So on a different level, the rich go through it, too. The successful can go through it, too, when they screw up like that. We just didn't have the benefit of good luck to...
I guess that's true.
...be followed up by complete and total failure. Anyway.
Well, what's next? Do we wrap it up now? Or do we
wrap it up? Well, shall we read a listener letter, or we can do a helping of was it us or was it them? Or we can talk about our latest artistic endeavors because we're persistent, if nothing else. What's your pleasure, La?
Let's do was it us or was it them? Right. And I can talk about my basketball teacher gig.
Oh, all right. Well, hit it. Are you still doing
it? All right. Well, as the listeners know, as my brother knows, I applied to be a basketball coach once a week for these girls that needed to be taken off
nuclear
the streets.
Nuclear physicist was already taken.
And since my brother has recently lied on his resume and gotten a pretty good gig,
I got fired.
You steal my thunder all the time.
But we'll talk about that next time.
How can we not talk about that now?
Because you're talking about your job coaching basketball.
I knew that would happen.
Well, I got fired because I had terrible student evaluations. But just go on.
I'm sorry,
speaking
La.
Speaking of humiliation.
Well, then you're going to love this. So I lied in the resume. And the first day I show up, and the girls absolutely knew I knew nothing about basketball. Mm-hmm. But I made them laugh, and I said, hey, you guys know what improv is? And we turned out they had a blast and we did improv, and I've been doing improv class once a week. I explained to the instructor what was going on. The girls seemed happy. Their parents seemed happy. It was fine. So we've been doing it every week. So I got the brilliant idea because I thought I'd get a raise. Let's have a show. Let's do a show. You know, this last Friday, I said, invite your parents, invite your friends, and we'll put on a show. We can do an improv show, and everyone can see how wonderful it is. And I'll get more jobs, and I'll become the most famous acting teacher in Schenectady, and I'll make so much money, and pretty soon we'll be able to have the house. And oh, so Amber, the lead street girl, said that she had a surprise, and her and the girls were going to do a surprise for her. Oh, that's really great. So I introduced everybody. Everybody was in a good mood. And she said, well, I have a surprise. This is for, I can't use her real name, but she goes, this is for La, for being so nice to us, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't remember all the words, but it was something like, they all lined up and started to do like a rap. And like, we're the street girls. You used to see us on the street just working our beat. Do we look familiar? We don't. Well, you do, and you do, and you, and you. The parents were enraged. The counselors were upset. One, they didn't know what that I referred to them as street. The girls knew. But I didn't mean it as like hookers. I meant it's just girls from the streets. So this song was like street girls. They thought I was referring to them as hookers. It was, anyway, I got fired.
Well,
that's it. Fired. And it was a terrible evening. I was humiliated. They were sad. This is the way it is. And now you got fired. We have no money coming in.
Did they throw so whose basketball? Fault was that? Did they throw basketballs at you eventually? You're like running for your life. Basketball was bouncing all over the place.
Well, keeping with the game, was it me or was it them?
Well, I don't quite understand. Did you not rehearse this rap before?
No, this is a surprise that they did for me because I call them street girls.
Oh, I see.
And Amber was just being funny.
So was the show going over well with the parents before they did
that?
That
was the opening of the show. I explained what improv was, and everybody was on my side. It was great. And then they said, oh, we wanted to do this for you, you know. And they did it, and that was it. They were horrified. It was like the producer's show without the humor, you know, when they, springtime for Hitler and Germany. It didn't turn into a success, though. It was,
God.
They thought that I had taught them to make, I had asked them to play a skit on being hookers.
Oh, my. In a Catholic school?
But I
gymnasium?
Didn't do that. Oh, I didn't Christ. Do that. They were just being funny and well, anyway.
So let me ask, before we come to a conclusion on this, was it us or was it them, how did you get out of there? What kind of violence did they try to inflict on you?
Well, the counselors took over, and I kind of the counselors were kind of trying to talk to all the parents and, you know, apologize and said they didn't know anything about this, and, you know, and that, and Amber was crying and she was trying to explain that it was just a joke, and I just sat there like a load. And they kind of, the counselors took me out back and explained that this was unacceptable, and I don't know. And I walked home because I didn't want to even get on the bus. It was like my feet were bleeding.
So
by the time I got home.
So the way you told the story originally, I thought that, you know, they were like, the parents turned on you and they were chasing
they did.
You. It was like an angry mob. And
well, no, I was kept apart from it. I went, you know, the counselors are the one that faced the families. And I kind of just edged towards the back door and I waited in the back until the counselor came. And
And then the counselors yelled at you too, huh?
Yes, they did, La. 60 years old getting disciplined. It wasn't even my fault.
And then you had to walk home in the middle of the night in the worst part of Schenectady.
And that's when I get hit by a soda bottle.
Oh, La.
I know, La. Now my brother got fired too, huh? Kind of came.
It wasn't quite as violently ugly as that. I did not get invited back for the fall semester, don't you know? Because apparently I had a negative rating on the student evaluations, which I don't even know how that's possible. But, you know, because you give them 0 to 10 or whatever it was, or a bunch of questions, and they have to rate you on each question. But evidently I was in the negative on pretty much everything, you know, getting papers back, personality. How can you tell personality in an online course, for Christ's sake? And knowledge of subject, you know, general intelligence.
Oh my God! Let me ask you a question, La. Yeah. Does it sting worse getting fired for those reasons than getting fired for not having a degree?
Huh?
Because I thought that was what was they were going to finally out you, and that's what was going to get you fired.
That's a good question. See, if they found out I didn't actually have a degree, I honestly don't know. I guess
so. It's probably better, La. That
yeah, I got one over on them because I did get paid for the semester. I just will never be able to work for them again, and I might have to change my name. But you're right. If I had gotten stung by not having had a degree, I probably would have been doubly humiliated because I would have been exposed, not just as talentless, but.
Well, dear audience members, the La and La brothers have taken a pie in the face again.
We certainly have.
We need your support and advice on what to do next to pick up these pieces and keep going on.
Exactly.
We've tried to inspire you all this time. We need some inspiration now.
And, you know, and just be careful, though. What you say, because my brother's feeling a lot of pressure as a role model for you people.
For anybody who writes in, I will play Miss Adelaide personally for them.
Adelaide, not Adelaide.
Adelaide.
She wasn't a chemical concoction. We'll pour some Adelaide on that.
Miss Bromelad.
Bromelad. Wow, we could do that.
I thought it was more like Miss Tubelard.
You could be Miss Adelaide, and I could be what was his name? Nathan Detroit, her boyfriend. And we could just put on our own show.
Sue me, what would it do me?
Sue me, I loves ya.
Angie.
We could do it all in Italian accents.
La. We're back at the bottom.
We are.
Neither one of us have jobs.
We don't have jobs.
Our artistic, you've still got your artistic thing going. You have the load of teaching. That was a serious job to take on as a developmentally disabled person.
It was like for a person. Well, I prefer to call myself absolutely unequivocally unqualified. But
you made it. You did pretty well. You did the best you could.
I guess, but can you imagine? If I hadn't, like, I'd be, what would it be, nuclear or something, like the China syndrome with my student evaluations right in the middle of the earth?
Wow.
Because, boy, they went after me. Anyway, before we go, what should we do, La?
Well, let's do a little song.
No,
what should we do with Mary? How does it go?
What do we remind our listeners?
Who'll dance with Mary?
I'm feeding you here, La. What do we write?
As we march to the gas chamber.
That's a good way to end the thing after you've made an Anne Frank allusion through.
I don't make jokes about the Holocaust. I wasn't making a joke about the Holocaust.
Well, you just
earlier.
Said the gas chamber, La. What do you?
Well, I wasn't thinking about. There's other gas chambers. There's gas chambers in every jail in the United States up until we.
Oh yeah, and you
did
think
away
the condemned man goes marching toward it, saluting?
I know.
Along
I
the
don't
way.
Know. We're also a victim of our times.
We
I just
are.
Mean, you know, this is a great spot for our next episode. So the next episode is going to be called "Picking Up the Pieces."
Picking up the pieces when
because
they're
we've
shattered
brought
again.
Ourselves. back down to ground zero.
That's
so la-di-da with the Law Brothers.
Well, anyways, we have to go, so we remind you to subscribe, leave reviews, and write to us at what, La?
HalfAlivePodcast@gmail.com, and we're serious.
We are serious.
We need some advice, so we need you to write us some advice on what to do, and don't be funny. Don't say stick your head in the oven. We want some serious advice so we can keep bringing this spark of joy into your lives.
God damn it, we're bringing you a spark of joy, so you better stand up for us. Okay, well, goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. Goodbye, La.
So long, La. Love you, brother.
Loves you.